Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks is session one of three live sessions called Teach in Church that took place Thursday morning, April 26th, here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene for a group of pastors from the Virginia District Church of the Nazarene and was led by my dad, Pastor Kerry Willis.
We know that your time is important, and as much as you're enjoying fellowshipping, we'll go ahead and why don't we all move up at least one row, and then when the people come in, you know, they won't need a pole vault to get over us. Steve, you don't need to move up a row. Just stay right there, bro. And we'll feel a little bit cozier, like we're kind of here together rather than, you know, too stretched out. You probably have the schedule in front of you if you got the email, and we're pretty much going to tag along with that. Lord willing here. I know our DS is here. He's in a meeting. He might slide in here in a second. And I asked Brother Paul Beck, if he would help us with some worship. We're not in any hurry, Paul, so don't worry about it. Make sure your electronics are doing what you're telling them and all that stuff. If not, then we'll have to hear from the Lord if those electronics don't work. Did y'all hear the story? You hear the story about the new preacher that came from seminary, and he read every sermon for 10 weeks straight, never looked at the people. And it was good stuff, you know, but they just never saw his face. And one day they had a strong gust of wind come through the church, and his notes blew slam out the window. And an old saint stood back in the back and said, "Well, glory, we're going to hear from God today." So when those electronics don't work, don't get in a panic. Just say, something good must be getting ready to happen. We don't tend to think that way. God must laugh that every time something electronically is not working, we talk about the devil's in it. The Lord's probably going, "I messed with the electronics, and they're giving the devil credit." You know, sometimes I'm not sure when the electronics are going wrong, who's in it. I'm not totally sure, because the Lord's probably like, "They got this order of service so tight, I couldn't get in there to do anything if I wanted to." You know, so these are things I tell myself, you know, on Sunday mornings. You know, "Lord, I hope I didn't wind things so tight that you can't get in." But anyway, I'm thankful for everyone back there who has computer skills. It seems like every teaching church, we had to teach more people how to work that booth back there. I think that Vic wired it only for a specialist to figure it out. And then he left us. He's laughing somewhere in North Carolina right now. But we're going to get it figured out. Well, I want to take just a few minutes just to introduce my friend who will be coming the second half to share after our break. That's my dear friend, Keith Carroll. Keith, raise your hand so they know who you are. Keith is a Wesleyan pastor from down in Thomasville, North Carolina. He's originally from Reidsville, not to be confused with Reidsville. Reidsville. And son of a farmer, grew up on a farm. And he pastors the Mount Zion Wesleyan Church. You go and Google that. You should. Keith, when you went there, were they running about 150 maybe? Yeah, 150, 200, and they've grown the church up near 1,000 now. I mean, it's according to what week it is, like any other church. But the way I got to know Keith is that they have their camp meeting there often on the East Wesleyan District at his location. And that's where we first met, and we've had several encounters since. But I'm just glad Keith can be here. I'll probably say a little bit more after we introduce him formally before he speaks to us. But God's timing is really good that he would let Keith Carroll be in my life this week. He's a good guy. And, yeah, there are some things, rumors floating around about me. I checked. I think they are all true, most of them, sad to say. But so brokenhearted joy is kind of what I'm feeling. But I forced myself out of the house Tuesday night to come to the hospitality volunteers banquet here. And it was really weird. Nobody would talk to me. Nobody. Even Pastor Roger didn't get up from his table and come to greet me. They all just sat there and just sat. I went to every table and I broke the ice. And then they were all loving me by the time I left, you know. John Lawson's daddy said, "I'm mad at you." And I said, "Yeah, I'm kind of mad at myself, Tony." But I got over it last night. Ruth Graham was here, and we had our Greater Hope Banquet, a ministry here in town that helps minister to the sexually and relationally broken. And I've had the privilege 2 years to be the board chair of that group. It's been a lot of warfare. You know, the devil hates that ministry. He really does. But Ruth Graham was here last night, and we had the ministry was really struggling a couple years ago. And the Lord's given us some new vision, and we went ahead and we... I remember when we had the meeting, Kathy Kipps, who leads that group, said, I'd really like to invite Ruth Graham to be our speaker for the 20th anniversary. And she said, but I don't know if we can afford her. I said, book her. Just book her. Don't worry about affording it. And I said, Harrisonburg will pay her bill. Just book it. We'll pay for it. I had no idea what I was talking about. And a few weeks ago, I got up in front of our people and said, well, Ruth Graham's going to be speaking here. We'd like to underwrite that for greater hope. And they went $400 over what I needed. Isn't that God's great, isn't he? But she was here last night, and the room was full, packed, new energy and greater hope. But she said a few things that I won't get over. And if you're on social media, you've probably heard them already because I put some of them up. She said, brokenness is what qualifies us to be a Christian. I thought that was, I've never heard anything close to that, but I'll be using it for a lot of time to come. Her book is titled, On Every Pew Sits a Broken Heart. She said last night, I like to retitle that to Every Pew Sits Several Broken Hearts. You know, that'll touch you as a pastor. It's kind of where we're heading today with Keith's talk. But I thought the best thing, and maybe you've heard this, I've never heard this quote. It was one of those quotes I'm like, I have to have heard that before. But I never heard it, and I wrote it down. She said, the people with all the answers just haven't heard all the questions. I thought that was powerful. But, you know, to be Billy Graham's daughter and to have that big fame attached to you, she drove herself here. She's running late. She got halfway here and left her notes home, had to turn around, go back and get them. I mean, she's so normal. And she got up, and she recently fell, and she got up and told us about it. She said, I always wanted, you know, fat lips, and I always had thin ones. This week I fell, and I busted my lip, and the Lord's given me what I always wanted, fat lips. She just came right into our heart. So I'm just glad today to know that whatever we brought here today, maybe that qualifies us to be Christians. We need a healer, don't we? Anybody needs a healer, say amen. Come on up here, my brother, and after you've led us in some worship, without any, just seamlessly, Pastor Livia Michael is going to come lead us in prayer. She's our student minister here. I met her when she was 9 months old, and now she is our student minister. And she happens to be the daughter of you probably know Pastor Margaret. That's her mama. She was on her mama's hip when I met her. So longevity can be a beautiful thing. So I asked Olivia, and she texted me yesterday, said she was sick. She didn't think she was going to make it today. But this morning she was very honest and said she was feeling a little better. So she's coming. So you just come, Pastor Olivia, whenever this man here, Paul Beck, gives you the clue, you just come lead us. And he might even play some little soft music while you're talking. It makes it easier. I don't know. That's up to you, brother. But I will open in prayer. Lord Jesus, this is the teaching church, and we know who the teacher is. That's what Miriam called you when she saw you in the garden after you'd resurrected. Teacher, you are the teacher. And we pray today that you will speak through worship as we worship you. Love on us and as we love on you. And when we pray, I mean, all of this is prayer, but when we take that time out to officially pray, we want you to just lean in and hear us and let us hear what you're saying. And after the prayer, we'll have our DS come and share some things. And so we're longing, Lord, to be in your presence and to be aware of your presence. And help us to know today that whatever burden we brought into this room, you are probably very interested in relieving us of it. So I pray today that it will not have been a wasted trip to Harrisonburg, Virginia. But it will be a day when we look back and say, God helped us, and the people said.
Amen. Good morning. This first song, I'm not sure if you know it. Anybody recognize the words? I'll sing it through once. It's like a chorus, three choruses, and each one just changes one word, so it's pretty easy. I'll sing it through once, and then you can sing with me.
Seek me. Seek me, seek me, says the Lord.
and I will reveal myself to you. I will reveal myself to you.
See, it's a prayer chorus, but it's the other half, God speaking to us. Let's sing it together.
Seek me, seek me, seek me, says the Lord your God. Seek me, seek me, and I will reveal myself to you. I will reveal myself to you. Trust me, trust me, trust me, says the Lord your God. Trust me, trust me, and I will reveal myself to you. I will reveal myself to you. Love me, love me, love me, says the Lord your God. Love me, love me, and I will reveal myself to you. I will reveal myself to you. I will reveal myself to you.
Now that's the quest where we're never disappointed. We chase after many things. When we hold them in our hand, we wish we didn't have them. And I think the quickest way probably to be unhappy is to focus on the one thing you don't have. Just like Eve in the garden, you know, look at the tree that you can't eat from. And Satan is very aware of that, and he tries to get us focused. You need a new car, you need this, you need that, you need a new church. But when we start counting our blessings and looking at all the wonderful blessings that God has given us, our whole attitude just turns around. You know, we're just full of joy. And I think it's interesting that in the scripture there are many, many things that God says don't do, you can't have that. And it's all for a reason. It's because it's destructive. But there's an area where we come into when we know Christ where there are no boundaries. There's no limits. And Paul so beautifully spells out some of these in Galatians 5. He says, the fruit of the Spirit, or the result of living in the Spirit, is love. You can have as much love as you want, as much joy, as much peace, patience, goodness, meekness, usefulness, faithfulness, self-control. There's no law against it, he says. There is no boundary of law around that. You can go just as far as you want to go. So let's go for the gold, shall we? And many of those things are revealed in our life through the opposite, like when it would be natural to hate. And we yield to the Spirit, he just fills us with love. And in some of the darkest times of my life, joy has welled up. It's just amazing how living in the Spirit can just change everything. And we are not slaves anymore. We used to be. We had to go in this little rut, but God has brought us out into a large place where we can just grow. There's plenty of room for growth. There are no limits put on how much you can become like Jesus. And this song is newer than the first one, and it's very meaningful to me. It's one of the songs that has really touched me more than almost anything I've heard lately, is that we are no longer slaves. We are free. Amen. Sometimes we need to be reminded, don't we? Let's sing this together.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My tears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am a child of God.
Good morning. Pastor Carrie said, I'm getting over a cold, so I'm going to try not to do all the talking this morning. But I came across a devotional yesterday, and I didn't think I was going to make it here this morning, but when I read it, I was like, I'm going to make it here. So I'm going to read that to you guys. It's called Abide in the Vine, and it says, there are those who feel that they must be constantly laboring for the Lord in order to meet God's high standards. Jesus gave a clear picture of what our relationship to him ought to be like. He is the vine, the source of our life. We are the branches, the place where fruit is produced. As we receive life from Christ, the natural, inevitable result is that the fruit is produced in our lives. In our zeal to produce results for our Lord, we sometimes become so intent on fruit production that we neglect abiding in Christ. We may feel that abiding is not as productive or that it takes too much time away from our fruit production, yet Jesus said that it is not our activity that produces fruit, it is our relationship with him. Jesus gave an important warning to his disciples. He cautioned that if they ever attempted to live their Christian life apart from an intimate relationship with him, they would discover that they cease to produce any significant results. They might exert great effort for the kingdom of God, yet when they stopped to account for their lives, they would only find barrenness. One of the most dramatic acts Jesus ever performed was cursing a fig tree that had failed to produce fruit. Are you comfortable in abiding, or are you impatient to be engaged in activity? If you will remain steadfastly in fellowship with Jesus, a great harvest will be the natural byproduct. So, as I read this, it really resonated with me. I've almost been in full-time ministry. My first job in ministry for a year now. And I think if there's one thing I've learned, it's this. It's that it's so easy to get so busy that I forget where ministry has to start. And it has to start with our own intimacy with the Savior. And as I look at a room full of pastors who've probably been at this hopefully longer than I have, it's not been that long, I would assume that I'm not the only one who's been there or struggled with this. And John 15:5 says this, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. So my prayer today is that I never lose sight of our Father so much so that the ministry he is doing through me becomes stagnant. Because the second my busyness causes me to miss out on the abundance that is living in intimacy with Christ is the same second that my ministry that he has entrusted to me becomes stagnant. And the people that I'm ministering to miss out on that same abundance. So as we pray this morning, let's pray in such a way that the Lord would know how desperate we are for intimacy with him. And like I said, I'm going to try not to do all the talking. So I'm going to just open in prayer, and I'm just going to leave it open for anyone to jump in. We have about 20 minutes, I think, and so I've asked my mom to close us. So no pressure, but after I pray, I'm going to go sit down, and if you feel led to pray into this or just wherever you're at this morning, just lift up a prayer. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this space today. Thank you for all these people in this room, Lord, that love you so dearly, God. If they didn't, I'm confident that they wouldn't be here. Lord, I believe you have a good word to speak to us today, but let us start here. Let us start in your presence. Thank you so much for meeting us here this morning, God. We don't have to ask. You're so faithful that you just show up, and we're so grateful. Lord, as I read this devotional yesterday, it just hit me so hard that I am nothing on my own. I can do no things through Olivia. It all starts with you. So, in the midst of a really sad week, God, I know that you're faithful and that you're good. And Lord, what a reminder that it is not flesh and blood that we rely on, God, but it is you alone. Thank you for that reminder. God, I pray that you would just keep drawing us into intimacy with you. And Lord, I know it's not a big ask because you're doing it. You're so faithful to do that, God. Let us not wander on our own, Lord, and let us always know who we turn to, where our strength comes from, God. You are the only one that we rely on and depend on. And Lord, I pray that the lives in this room, God, would not just make an impact here on earth, but that we would make a difference for the kingdom, that our lives would show fruit for eternity. And Lord, let us remember that it is not on our own strength that we will bear fruit, God, but it is when we are intimate with you, when we know you so personally. So Lord, that's my prayer today. that as we walk out of this room at noon, that we are just a little bit more intimate with you, that we know you a little bit better. And Lord, we just give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
Father, you have us each coming and going out from here in different directions. Father, I pray that as we walk behind you, that we would see nothing but salvation ahead of us. And that as we walked in your steps, that we would leave nothing but salvation behind us. Father, I pray for the marriages in this room. I pray that you would place upon the hearts of those in here the blessing you have given them and their spouse. And for those who are here this morning who don't have a spouse, Father, I praise you for the plans you have for them. I praise you that you are closer to them. I thank you for the time you've given us together this morning, but I thank you also for the time you've given us together in the past, and I thank you for the times we're going to have together in the future. I've been avoiding talking to you this morning, and if I say anything that's just for me, then let it just be me, and let these people pray in agreement with me for my own blessing. But if there's something in this that resonates with them, fear crawled up my back and whispered in my ear yesterday, and I told it to go away, and it just sat on my chest and made it hard to breathe. But you're the breath in my lungs. And so I invite you to keep breathing. I ask you to press off what I am not strong enough to. And I ask that you help me keep my hands off what you already have your hands on.
Lord, this morning as we continue in our prayer today, Lord God, I'm reminded that as early this morning, Lord God, I woke up and cried out to you, Lord God, and literally cried out to you, Lord. I'm reminded, Lord God, as Sister Olivia, Lord God, brought her devotion to us this morning, Lord, that you are the vine and we are merely the branches. We cannot do nothing alone, Lord God. And Sister Olivia said, Lord, that it's not about Olivia. And I'm reminded today it's certainly not about Billy. It's not even about us today, Lord. It's about Jesus. And Lord, her devotion that she brought to us today, Lord God, something that you gave to her heart yesterday, Lord, you placed in my heart this morning. Because, Lord, I was very surprised when she shared that scripture, Lord, because you pressed this in my heart today, Lord God. And Lord, it isn't that you're just the vine and we are the branches, Lord. You're the root. You're the tree. You're the vine. You're the branch. You're the fruit that's bare today. Lord, my heart has been heavy, Lord, this week, Lord God. As Pastor Carey sent an invite to come to the teaching church today, this week. He said, come. It'll be a tender moment. And Lord, I can't help but believe it is a tender moment. It's been tender upon Pastor Carey and Sister Kim for some time now, Lord God. And I've sensed something, Lord. I can't truly say what it is, Lord God, but I've sensed a movement. I've sensed something in Pastor Carey's spirit. And Father, I don't mean to add any more sadness to what is already a sad moment today, Lord God, but I've cried for Pastor Carey and Sister Kim in the Harrisonburg Church and the Harrisonburg community. And selfishly, Lord God, I've cried for myself, Lord God, because I love him with all my heart, as all of us do, Lord. But Lord God, there comes a season. There comes a time in each of our lives, Lord God, where you call us to a greater place, to a greater ministry. And Father, I've cried for Pastor Carey because, Lord, I know this has been an extremely difficult time for him as he's wrestled, trying to listen for the very voice of God that we all desire today, to hear your voice. But Lord, as I said to Pastor Carey, selfishly, I hate to see him go, but yet I celebrate with him. I celebrate with the Philadelphia district because, Lord, I can't help but believe, Lord God, that you are the vine. And Carey's going to be a branch. And on that branch, Lord God, there's going to be much, much fruit. So, Lord, breathe into Pastor Carey's life, Lord, more ministry, more excitement, more fruit. Breathe upon us today, Lord God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, more fruit for a greater ministry, Lord God, in our lives. Lord, I can't help but admit today, Lord God, sometimes, Lord God, we take our eyes off the prize. And we get so busy, Lord. We get so wrapped up in this thing called life that if we're not careful, Lord, we're the branch that needs to be pruned. And Lord, if there's any pruning that needs to be done in my life, I can't give authority to anybody else here today. But I believe, Lord, as individuals, Lord, we have to say, yes, Lord. If there's a place in my life, Lord God, where I need pruned, prune me, Lord. Even though it's painful and it's going to hurt, prune me, Lord, to make me faithful, to make me fruitful. And Lord, for all the fruit that is bared in our lives today, may we be careful today that we give you all the glory and the honor for it and the praise in Jesus Christ's name.
Dear Lord, we thank you for Pastor Olivia's devotional. And I remember a song that was sung by Marvin Jones, "I Miss My Time With You." It's a long time ago. Lord, this morning in my devotions, you just kind of revealed to me that there were three fleeces that Gideon presented to you. And before he even got to the sheepskin, he gave you a fleece and said, "I'm going to go get a sacrifice. And if it's really you, you'll be here when I come back." And the scripture tells us that he said, "I will wait on you. I will wait on you." And I wrote in my Bible, I can't imagine asking God to wait on us. But you did for Gideon, and you do for us. Help us not to make you wait. Lord, Pastor Carey jokingly said I wouldn't talk to him the other night. Well, when I read the scriptures, when Jesus was with the crowds, there isn't a whole lot said about the disciples except the time they kept the little children away from him. Lord, the disciples knew that when Jesus was with the crowds needed him. Lord, Pastor Carey's not Jesus, but Tuesday night, the people needed him, and we didn't need to be taking his time. Lord, I remember Reverend Mike saying, in the interim before Pastor Carey came, and we were hurting. And he said, I want to live for that moment, that one divine moment when heaven touches earth. That one divine moment when heaven touches earth. Well, Lord, I've told a lot of folks in the last couple of days, we've had 24 years of that one divine moment when heaven touches earth. But my prayer is the next 24 years. And that you will do it again. That you will do it again. Lord, we thank you for these days, as was used by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he wrote those words in the fall, and he was martyred in the spring. So we don't know what these days hold, but we know that you hold them. And so, Lord, we pray that you will do it again. As I shared with Harold Arbogast yesterday, we get to watch it this time. It's beautiful. Your plan and your kingdom advances. Getting left a long time ago. And yet his story inspires us. Lord, help us not to wait upon you. And I pray, Lord, that you will not have to wait upon us. Do it again, we pray. We thank you for teaching church. And the hope that it brings to so many pastors. In your name we pray, Jesus.
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship together this morning, to have our hearts quieted before you, to be still, and to realize that we serve a living God. Lord, we thank you for godly fellowship, brothers and sisters who love you, and for the opportunity to be strengthened because of those bonds. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of worship through song this morning, realizing that we are children of God. And we thank you, Lord, for the message you have brought to us today through your servant. Think of the words that are found in the book of Esther. You have brought us all into the kingdom for such a time as this. We pray, Lord, that we, like her, would learn to totally depend upon you as we stand before our world. And I pray today, Lord, that we would all be reminded of the fact that, as Ruth Graham shared with us last night, we, like Jeremiah, have been called and ordained even from our mother's wombs. You saw us, and you chose us that we might go forth. And so, Lord, today we pray that our lives would be an offering to you. Thank you for Pastor Carey and for what he's meant to all of us. And I pray, Lord, that we would take the things that we have seen and heard and learned from him and apply them to our lives so that others might benefit from the ministry that he has shared among us. We thank you, Lord, for the days that are yet before us. And we ask, O God, that you would go before us, come behind us, and encompass us in every way. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with us today as we meet together. Thank you for this holy moment, being able to fellowship together here in your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name.
Just as I close the time of prayer, devotional that I read this morning, and I can't not have to read it this morning, from the song to the devotional to the prayers. It's out of devotional that two anonymous women wrote the words from the Lord. They wrote down the things they felt like the Lord said to them. And today I think this is a way to close this time of prayer. Imagine Jesus speaking this over us today. Never doubt. Have no fear. Watch the faintest tremor of fear and stop all work, everything, and rest before me until you are joyful and strong again. Deal in the same way with all tired feelings. I was weary too when on earth, and I separated myself from my disciples and sat and rested on the well. Rested. And then it was that the Samaritan woman was helped. I had to teach renewal of spirit, force rest of body to my disciples. Then, as your example, I lay with my head on a pillow, asleep in the boat. It was not as they thought, indifference. They cried, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And I had to teach them that ceaseless activity was no part of my Father's plan. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me, he did not mean that he was to do all things and then rely on me to find strength. He meant that for all I told him to do, he would rely on my supplying the strength. My work in the world has been hindered by work, work, work. Many a tireless, nervous body has a driven spirit. The spirit should be the master always, and just simply and naturally use the body as need should arise. Rest in me. Do not seek to work for me. Never make opportunities. Live with me and for me. I do the work and I make the opportunities. Lord, we are so grateful that you have given us the keys to life, the keys to ministry. Lord, you have told us to not live in fear. We are not to be a slave to fear, but to rest in you until the fear is gone. And Lord, every one of us, we have no idea what the noontime hour holds, tomorrow holds, next month holds, but we know who holds the future. And we can trust in you because you are trustworthy. You have created each one of us with a plan and a purpose. And you are our resource. You are enough with a capital E. And today, God, I pray that you would continue just to speak into our lives and to bring strength as we rest a while this morning. I pray for our brother Keith as he is going to come and share with us and all of those that will share this morning. Lord, you are good. We thank you that you hold us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. And what a holy moment this has been, right? Thank you for the privilege of being here with you today. That was a little bit of a time warp for me when I walked in and you were singing that song, A Child of God. And if you'll allow me just to tell one little personal story, the year would have been 1966. I was 5 or 6 years old. My mother and father had just said yes to God to go as missionaries in the Church of the Nazarene. And it looked like we were being sent to Italy. And it was the time for the district assembly, and it was going to be held at the church or in the town where my dad was pastor, Panama City, Florida, which was on the Alabama district at the time. And the church that my dad pastored was not big enough for the event, so we did it in the convention center in Panama City. That's a pretty vivid memory for a boy that was 6, 7 years old, right? And during the missions convention, since my parents had said yes to God to be missionaries, the district superintendent and wife at the time was Reeford Cheney, which is a name that rings a bell here in Virginia because he was superintendent here many years later. They said, wouldn't it be a good idea if young Phil would sing in the missions convention? And the song that my mom and I practiced, she playing on the piano and me singing, was this. Once I was clothed in the rags of my sin, I'm not singing it for you today, don't worry. Wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, in pity and love, took me under his wings. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing, praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. And there's no fear in that, right? There's no fear in that. Thanks be to God. And the God who called my mom and dad and sent us to Italy is taking care of us through all that. And in the light of what we're talking about today, the God who's called Kerry to come to Harrisonburg and now is taking him to Pennsylvania. God's got it all. Amen? God provides. He's good. He's faithful. And by the way, congratulations, Pastor Kerry and Kim, on a fine election. And I just add my voice to all the other voices that say, we're going to miss you around these roads and these places and this district. Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, put each other's numbers on speed dial. Yeah, let's do it. Well, we're grateful for the hand of God. And I've heard Pastor Kerry say this many times. We're all free agents in the hands of God, right? And so when he has control, he has control. And that's good. So there's something very powerful that happened this morning by being together. Paul, thank you. Olivia, thank you for your part in this day. And there's something powerful about coming together. There really is. There is power in being together. And so I'm just going to take a few minutes today to talk about some additional times that we have opportunity to be together where this kind of dynamic, the people of God being together, is helpful. So Billy and Todd, if you guys could help me, I have some things to distribute. The first thing I want to distribute is the door brochure, the booklet there. So if you'll take those, hand me one, and then you're free to take one or more. Let's just make sure everybody gets at least one, and you can take some of these to hand out. But this was put together by our camp meeting coordinator, Joyce Grambo, and they're using the door theme again this year for camp meeting. Camp meeting is really a wonderful time to conference together and to learn together and to grow together. This year our evangelist is Lane Lohman, and if you haven't heard Lane, you're in for a real treat to come and hear Lane. One of the things that's different about camp meeting this year, if you've been around the Virginia district any time at all, you know that camp meeting always happened in August, right? It was always August. The traditional date for camp meeting was always August, right, Rob? It was like that second week of August. And then for the last few years, we've had it sometimes in July, but this year camp meeting happens in June, which I think probably is a first. I don't know that we've ever had camp meeting in June, but it's June 26 to July 1. And this is in part necessitated by a shift that's happening with the date of the district assembly that's coming next year. And anyway, it's a shift that's happening. So this change to June is pretty permanent, except for the years when we have general assembly. Because often the dates are there. But there's a whole schedule there of activities. Come and be part of one service or more services. Bring your tent, bring your RV. There might even be a few extra places this year during camp meeting that are available for families. If you'll reach out to us at the office, we can get you connected. But they'll go quickly because we don't have many extra rooms right on the campground. But there's a place for you, and there's information there on how to get signed up and all that kind of good stuff. So please connect with us. Please come and be a part of Camp Meeting, Big Camp Meeting 2018. All right? And then I have another event that's getting ready to happen that I want to talk to you about. And that's, if you'll help me with this one again, I'll need one copy. Thank you, sir. And this is the annual district assembly that's coming up that we've also called The Door. Now, last year, that worked out pretty good because The Door was all tied together in 1 week. This year, we kept the same name, The Door, but it's two events. So is that confusing? Yeah. That was actually kind of funny, actually. But there's no humor, not much humor here this morning. Come on, y'all. Come on, John. Laugh for me. Help me out. So if you want to just say Asamblea Misional, which is the Spanish words for missional assembly, you can do that, but it's July 19 to 21. It's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And most of you know that this year the assembly has a little different schedule than the typical one when we take it on the road to the local church. Usually we start on Thursday night. This year we're starting on Thursday afternoon. And in a moment I'll hand out a draft of all of the workshops that are being offered on that Thursday afternoon, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But if you're a new pastor to the district, there's a special luncheon that's going to be held on that Thursday at around 11:30, and then at 1:15, 2:15, and 3:15, there are these 45-minute seminars and workshops. And again, we'll talk about, we'll come back to those. There is, I think there is a dinner at 5 o'clock for SDMI. So every local church or pastor is invited to a meal. Now, Pam, can you tell us any more about the SDMI meal? It's for, like, if you have a Sunday school superintendent or an SDMI leader in your local church, they're invited. And if you don't have one of those, then the pastor is invited. And is it the pastor's invited either way, or do you know? We want at least one leader from every local church, and there'll be a meal there at the church at about 5 o'clock and some helpful information related to discipleship in the local church, right? Okay. And the meal's free, right? The meal is free. Wonderful. Thank you. And then at 7 o'clock, missionaries Greg and Amy Crawford from Africa are going to be with us, so we're looking forward to them, and the mission service will be part of that Thursday night. And then on Friday, you see the schedule of activities there. If you know of an ordinand, make sure they know about that mandatory meeting that they're a part of. Don't let them miss that. It says meal on your own on Friday, unless you're the NMI president. And there is a luncheon for all NMI presidents of the local church, missions leaders in the local church. And then we're going to do something a little different this time at 1:30. When you have arrived and registered, you'll have something on your badge, your name badge, that will identify for you the first location you're to go to at 1:30. And so all the assembly will be divided up into about three larger groups, and there'll be about a third of the pastors here and a third of the pastors here and a third of the pastors here. And in those smaller groups, we're going to have an opportunity to do some of our pastors' reports will happen in that 45-minute session or so where you'll do some pastors' reporting. The wise thing is that what happens is, as we have one group doing them over here in one part of the facility and another in another part of the facility and another in another part of the facility, every pastor giving their one-minute report, we kind of triple the benefit of being able to do triple the number of pastor's reports in a smaller group setting, and it gives us an opportunity for pastors also to be prayed for in a very engaging kind of way. So that's going to happen, and then around 2:15, we'll adjourn to the main sanctuary, and then at 2:30 will be the report of the district superintendent, the report of Eastern Nazarene College, and it says President Dan Boone, but as you know, there's been a transition there, but this was a long time ago printed, so we'll have an update on Eastern Nazarene College, and then dinner on your own. The minister's choir rehearsal at 6:30 at Highland Heights Baptist Church, where they have agreed to host us for our ordination service, and the credentials boards just met, just completed their work, and if everybody that was recommended finishes up their work and gets everything done, we will have 9 ordinations and 1 person recognized for who was ordained somewhere else and we recognize in the Church of the Nazarene, for a total of a class of 10. So that's really a great class. We're looking forward to that. And there'll be a reception right there at the church. And then on Saturday, we will conclude whatever remaining pastor's reports there are. And then we're having some key presentations on evangelism, church planning, charitable discourse, and looking to get one on discipleship and another that Dr. Busick will lead probably on the local church and the greater work of the greater church. It's going to be a really neat time. And then a concluding message and tending to any remaining business of the assembly. So we promise to be done by noon on Saturday. And we'll be able to send people on their way for their activities. There's one other thing I wanted to take some time, so I'll get my team to help me. Thank you, guys. This is it's a draft because we don't have every detail yet ironed out, but we have a group of workshops and seminars that I think are helpful to our people, and you will want to think about who strategically you might want to have at one of these events. Just thought we'd take a minute to go through the workshops and what they are. Pastor Kerry, we have you down for one. That's right. You're living it out, aren't you? That's right. Abandoned to God. That's it. So we'd love for you to be there if your schedule allows. So Stephen Willis is going to provide a 1 45-minute time workshop called Developing a Christ-Centered Leadership Culture That Becomes a Catalyst for Advancement. I think that'll be great for strategic leaders. You might want to be part of the conversation that Stephen has had in his local church. Diane Tolliver is a layperson from our Annandale Calvary Church. She wrote a wonderful book that tells about, 20 stories of persons who've gone through difficult times, and she's going to talk a little bit about that. Some of you got a chance to meet her at the minister's retreat, and you might want to give her an opportunity to engage with some of your lay people this way. We're working on having a workshop. I love the title, Help, I'm a Local Church Treasurer. Huh? That's a little challenging task at times with some of the new methodologies. And so we have some great resource people who are glad to help those persons. And so you may want to make sure your local treasurer can be part of that. Mike Lyle, who's discipleship pastor at Lynchburg First, is going to talk about sacred rhythms. And you can see the description of what he has there. Myself, we just have my name there right now, but we're going to talk about generous mission churches and talk about some methods for raising additional funds in the local church for missions. And we have one on evangelism and organic outreach that I'm prepared to lead. And you notice at the bottom of that left-hand column, 3 to 4 workshops in Spanish, and they're working on the titles and descriptions for those too. Camelot Shuff and a panel is putting together a vibrant children's ministry in the small church. And one of the things I've noticed as I've traveled around is that some churches have struggled to find leaders and the persons that they need to help start up and rekindle a children's ministry. And so they're going to talk about some of the resources and strategies to help develop strong children's ministries. My alarm's going off. Anybody know why? It's 10:02. Do you know why it goes off at 10:02? Luke 10:2, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field. So, Steve, Would you lead us in the 10:02 prayer? Would you do it? Here, come to the microphone since we're recording some of this.
Father, they are truly whitened. They provide opportunities that stretch us. Lord, I pray that you would teach us, keep us in step with what you're doing in our world, and give us workers. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Give us workers, and then the scripture says also to send out workers. And it revolutionized my thinking when I realized that most of my life I had prayed, Lord, send me workers. That's what I'd been praying. And I think the Lord is okay with that prayer. But what he said is pray that send out workers. And all of a sudden I realized that I had a responsibility to help mentor and send people too, right? And it helped me, actually. It helped me this week when I was at the Philadelphia district. And I realized the Lord had just done that verse to us, right? Huh? He had sent out a laborer from our midst to help someone else. And that's part of the kingdom of God too, right? Amen? So the next one on the list is Abandon to God, the Holy Spiritual Life. And Kerry Willis is on the list. We hope he'll be able to come back and share for this one. Although he's living it out, right? That's what you're doing. You're living it out. All right. Thank you, brother. Gay Marston is prepared to come and talk about her book, The Truth About Me. You may remember she did a session here, and kind of a miniaturized version of that would be available there. Todd Thomas, some of you may or may not know, Todd has, it's finished, right? It is finished. Sounds like a crucifixion almost, doesn't it? 2 hours from being finished, has written an excellent book on the Sermon on the Mount. And it's really great. I had the privilege of being one of the readers, early readers, and it's close to being published or sent to be published. But some great insight that he has into not only the Sermon on the Mount, but also studying the New Testament. This might be a great workshop. I believe it would be a great workshop for any young pastor or laypersons in the local church on methods of studying the scriptures and how to apply this to your life. Anything else you want to say about that, Todd? All right. Go to Todd's workshop. It'll do you good. And then Celebrate Recovery. Kevin Skellett is, he's the statewide leader for Celebrate Recovery, not just for the Church of the Nazarene, but for the whole state of Virginia, the Celebrate Recovery ministry all throughout the state of Virginia, any church, wherever it's found. He's the leader for that. And he's a staff member at Southside Church. And he's going to lead a workshop on how to implement, I believe that's part of it, how to introduce and how to make use of Celebrate Recovery as an evangelistic and discipleship tool. And then Bob Edelman is prepared to do a Missions 101, everything you need to know about how to deliver NMI in your local churches. Well, there you go. That would be a great, it's going to cover a lot of the details of what's really available to local churches to be in the mission of God. So I encourage people to be involved. And we're going to have Sharon Kessler, who is the Eastern Region Global NMI Director from the Mid-Atlantic District, and for our field, our area, is going to be there. She's also on the Board of Directors for Fawn Grove Compassionate Ministry Center, and she's going to talk about how to be involved in the in that Compassionate Ministry Center. So she'll talk about that. And Robin Hatcher is a layperson from our Manassas, now Alive Church, and she's going to talk about TechSoup and QuickBooks Online. That's kind of a techie side of things, but there are some people who really could take advantage and use that in their local churches. Just make sure you get the right people there. So that's a pretty good list of workshops, and that's trying to resource and equip the local church, and we want to make that continually available to you. And remember, I think there is great power in conferencing and coming together, learning from one another, peer-to-peer learning, kind of like what we do right here, and God is in it. For how many of you, this is your first time to the teaching church? Okay, one. Okay, two. Well, I'm glad you're here. And but for many of us, this is a long time habit, right, of coming to these. Well, there were six for a while every year, and now we've kind of focused on four per year. And we started a branch office on the east side of the state in Newport News. And so the teaching church has really benefited us because while Kerry has led it and he's been the visionary leader behind it, it really has been about peer-to-peer learning. It has been about us helping each other in the journey. That needs to continue, right? And so we're going to figure all that out. I think the Harrisonburg First Church the Nazarene staff ought to have some part in that. I think we ought to plan to continue that, put the four dates on the calendar for next year, and let's go from there, because we really do need each other in this journey. And as we've said many times before, we really are better together. So we might even invite Pastor Carey to come back and help us with one of the teaching churches somewhere along the way. And that'd be great. I've been thinking about this. I really have been. This is not me just saying this, but I really have been thinking about this a lot lately. That lost, broken, hurting, happy, holy, confused, messed up, cleaned up, down and out, and up and out people matter to God, and therefore they matter to us. Amen? And so we're in the business of loving people, helping them to see the kingdom. A young girl named Maddie was at the cash register at a breakfast place up in Northern Virginia. She looked bored, just completely bored. And I went to pay for the breakfast that I'd had with a pastor, and I said to her, "You look like it's kind of boring around here today." And right there, trying to pay with my American Express paid breakfast, she says, "It is boring. And if you really want to know something, my life is boring." And I didn't know exactly what to do, but I knew it was a holy moment kind of about to happen. And I said, "Well, I don't do this for just everybody, but if you'd like, and if you want to give me your name, I'll promise to pray for you. And I've been praying for Maddie." She said, "I sure hope you will, because no 20-year-old should feel the kind of angst I feel in my life. I'm trying to pay for breakfast, and she's wanting to have an existential conversation, right?" You just never know. You just never know. I had an opportunity to share that there can be great purpose in your life. I pointed her to the Purpose Driven Life book. I pointed her to Jesus. I pointed her to the Word. And I offered her my contact information. It wasn't that moment to reap the harvest, but I sure was glad I was able to plant some seeds. And I believe one day I'll see Maddie in heaven. Somebody else is going to have the privilege of doing the harvest. But I want to be a seed planter or a harvester, whatever it takes, right? And let's just be about the Father's business that way. Thank you for the privilege of working together in the kingdom. And thank you for all that you do. We love you, and we're grateful for the work we have together to do. Pastor Carey said I could have until about 10:10. It's 10:10. So how about that for timing? Well, thank you. I think 10:10 is plenty enough. Y'all are tired of hearing from me already. I can tell. so I think we have a break scheduled, right? Is that where we are? Okay. All right. I'm going to let... All right. Here you go, Pastor Carey.
I appreciate it. I actually told him 10:20. He didn't hear me. But he's 10:10 is fine. Now, I want to have... whoever the passer outer people were, I mean, don't pass out. I want you to pass out these. If you don't have anything to do, I don't think I'm conflicting with anything, but we're having a local kind of a spiritual renewal weekend here. It's not really a weekend. Well, it kind of is. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning you'd be at your place. But if you're interested, this is just something we're doing. We're calling it Anchored. And it really is the local version of Project Galilee weekend for our church. So if you're willing and want to come, we want to invite you. We have a worship band that joined us last year, Jason Tuggle and the Delta Sun, and they're going to be here to lead worship. I met them at Brother Keith's church, met Jason many years ago. So just we invite you. We bring a sack lunch on Friday and join us down in the quad room. Downstairs, and on worship service that evening, we'll have worship, and then Pastor Adrian's going to preach, launch us in deep water. That day during the sack lunch, Pastor Margaret's going to lead and help us be prepared for the weekend so we get our hearts ready. And then on Saturday, we're going to have a couple of sessions right off the bat at 8:30, one on servanthood, and then a 5-minute break, and then one on courage. About 25 minutes each, and then we're going to worship again. And then we're going to have a panel on holiness. We're just going to talk about holiness, practical every day in our lives. And then we're going to end that Saturday before noon with two prayer laboratories, one for women and one for men. We'll go to separate parts of the building for that. And I just felt like, you know, John did such a good job making this little logo that you all ought to have a handout with at least that on it. Thank you, John. That's beautiful. I told him, I said, could we have an anchor with maybe Pentecost in the middle of it? And look what he did. He put the flame right on the anchor. I don't know how to do that on my computer, but he got it done. So the reason is because my last month of preaching that I already had planned will be 4 weeks titled The Way to Pentecost. So that's where that came. But you got your number, you got your little brochure, and I want us to take time to pray around our DS. That's becoming even more important to me these days. But I always, I try when we gather to pray with you if you're not here because you have a schedule that's daunting. And this year you've really had to really juggle a lot. I mean, you had an angel working on you, I think. So I want us to have a couple of prayers around Brother Fuller. So, Brother Fuller, why don't we take a chair out right here, Paul. Release that chair, will you, and put it right there. And if you can get those loose, that was kind of a reel because I can never unhook the things. Thank you, brother. Thank you. That's going to be the DS's chair. That'll be fine. Brother Fuller, would you just sit there for us, if you don't mind? And, you know, I've been told that anyone who can't be trusted under authority can't be trusted with authority. So you must have been really good under authority because you're trustworthy with it, brother. I just want to say today's not about me. I try to keep things not about me. I know there's some things going on in my life, but I want you to know the things going on in your lives matters just as much as what's going on in mine. But I'll tell you, God let me know he loved me a couple times. I called Brother Fuller Monday before I told my lead team what might be happening. I wanted him not to be surprised. I thought he might know, you know, since he is a district superintendent. But he didn't. And I thought, wow, the Nazarene grapevine's pretty tight. But I told him what might happen. And you don't know what it meant to me when he said, well, Brother Carey, Cheryl and I will be at that assembly. And so he was sending me play-by-play text. My brain was on fire. You know, I didn't know what was going on. And when I was elected, I'm told they had him come up and pray over me and over the district before I got there. And they did some business at the end of the assembly. They said, we have one item of business, and they needed to approve, you know, me being transferred from Virginia to Philadelphia. And would anyone, you know, all in favor, aye, all opposed, and he raised both hands. He was like a Pentecostal. Yeah. And that touched me, brother. And but anyway, I told Brother Fuller, I'm going to be needing you more than ever. And then I found out he's actually the leader, I shouldn't have been surprised, of that region of DSs. So I'm glad we love each other, brother. That's a good thing. You know, longevity proves a lot of stuff. You know, I had a photography instructor tell me one time, he was a Christian. He tried to put a lot of Christianity in his teaching in a public university's college setting. I loved him, Brother Beck. And I was the only one that caught on to what he was doing, I think. And I would go up, and I was under conviction, so I would talk to him. And he said one time, though, he said, on your way up the ladder, be extremely kind, because on your way down, you're going to meet all those people again. And so that teaches me something today, that you don't know who the person you're being kind to might be in your future. They might be the person you need the most. So you getting what I'm saying? Are you tracking, like Aaron Golden says? Okay. I'm going to ask two people to pray over you. Everybody else can just sit and pray or kneel and pray. Or if you want to stretch your arm out, that gets tiring for me, but sometimes people ask you to do that. I want us to all pray our prayer over Brother Fuller. But I'm going to ask two people that I know that believe in prayer and know that prayer ought to be happening, all of us that way, but two people in my life. I'm going to ask Angela Sipe, who I asked to be here today. She's the one that puts all the food out there for us. And I said, Angela, I think you're going to want to hear Keith Carroll. Why don't you come to the teaching church? And that was back before I knew any of my stuff was good. And she said, well, I will come, you know. I said, you're going to want to hear Keith, because they got kind of the same heart. And I'll let Pastor Adrian go first, Angela, because I didn't want to surprise you. But both of you come over here now, and if you wouldn't mind, I want you to be prayed over by men and women that I have literally trusted my life with in their hands. And, you know, when my friend Hans Zimmerman in Germany, his son Philip nearly died when he was a young college-age boy. And the doctors in Switzerland at the time told Hans, your son's going to die. And he had something akin to like the flesh-eating disease or something. And Hans went there to that hospital, and he called the elders from the Germany district who would come. But before he went in to pray over Philip and to anoint him, he sat with each of those praying, and he said to them, if there's any sin in your life, don't come in this room to pray with my son. Wow. Can you imagine you made a two-hour drive to Switzerland to pray, and you can't go in the room because the father of the boy laying dying needs people who really are living the life. And you know, Philip came off that bed, and he is leading the work of the Church of the Nazarene in Frankfurt, Germany. They went from 20 people. When I was there to preach a few months ago, or maybe it's a year now, they had over 1,200 in about 10 different locations. And that is Philip Zimmerman, who some people went in who really believed that prayer was a holy thing and lifted him off that bed. My brother Phil, I want you to have that kind of prayer from us today. And we're all praying for ourselves right now. I'm praying, search me, O God, and see if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me into life everlasting. Brother Adrian, if you would pray first, and then Sister Angela will follow.
Father, I don't know that any of us in the room can totally understand the weight and the burden that Dr. Phil carries. But we're grateful today that we're praying to the one who does know. And I can't imagine there are many nights, many days that feel lonely in the ministry that he does. I know that he doesn't do it for others. He does it for you. But I thank you that no matter where he is on this district, no matter what he's facing, Lord, that you're with him. And that's why you tell us in your word to fear not. Not because we're gifted and strong and intelligent. Dr. Phil's all those things. But you tell us time and time again to fear not because you are with us. Our courage doesn't come from our ability. It doesn't come from our ability to persevere or to grit our teeth and just get through it. It doesn't come from our education and our wisdom, human wisdom, Lord. Those are all important. But we fear not because we know you're with us. It's like when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fire, you were with them. And so I pray, not for fire, not for more fires for Dr. Phil's life. I don't pray that. But Lord, I know he's experiencing them. I know because of the call of God on his life, because he said yes to you, that there are fires, that he experiences that. But what I pray more than anything is that you would be with him in the fire, that there would never be a moment, Lord, there would never be a moment where he would feel alone. There would never be a moment where he would feel far from your presence, but that he would know he does not need to fear because you are with him. Lord, would you touch his family today? Would you be with Cheryl? Would you be with Jonathan, his precious family, Lord? I don't pretend to know everything they're experiencing, but I know because Dr. Phil's answered your call, that the enemy is not pleased. And so, Lord, I pray that when we think of Dr. Phil, we think of his family, Lord. We'll surround them in our prayers, Lord. And I pray for incredible favor in Dr. Phil's life. I pray for the things that he puts his hands to, his mind to, Lord, that you would bless it and that you would multiply. Lord, we pray for the Virginia district today. We are thankful that this isn't about our kingdom. This isn't about one leader. This isn't about our name, Lord. Our name's not on the sign. It's the Nazarene. It's Jesus. We want you to get the glory, Lord. And so as we pray for Dr. Phil, I know his heartbeat is to see Jesus lifted up, Lord, in our churches like never before. And so I pray into this coming season of our assembly and the opportunities that we have to gather as a district, I pray you will unite us like never before, Lord. That's what this world needs. It needs the church to come together like never before, Lord. And so forgive us when we make ministry about us, when we make it about comparing ourselves to others, when we allow our own insecurities, Lord, to impact how we lead. I pray that wouldn't be so. And so as we pray for Dr. Phil, we pray for our churches, Lord. I don't know the biggest need in Dr. Phil's life today, Lord. He's walked a long journey. And over recent months and years, Lord, he's not just dealt with the burden of ministry, but in his personal life. And personal loss, Lord. Help us to know that Dr. Phil is not just a leader and a pastor. He's a person. He's a son. He's a husband. He's a father.
And so, Lord, whatever the deepest need is that he has today, Lord, we know that you already know it and that you're more than able to meet that need according to your riches. Lord, I'm so grateful for the times in my life that you haven't answered my prayer according to what I wanted. You had riches I knew nothing about. And in fact, Lord, there's prayers that you haven't answered in my life, and later I had to come back and say, thank you for not doing that. You had something far greater. And so I pray, according to your riches, that you would answer those prayers. Give him the desires of his heart. Give him the desires he didn't even know he had, but they're greater and bigger and better, Lord. And we believe that our days on the Virginia District are better. We pray, as Pastor Carey often says, the future is preferred, Lord. And so for that, we have great hope. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. I pray that Dr. Phil would not be weary in doing good, but he would reap a harvest if he faints not. We claim your word today. We stake our life upon it. In your name we pray.
Lord, I lift up those who follow Brother Phil in his duties. I pray for that support staff, Lord, that follows him and waits for his call. And waits at the back of the room for him to say, we need more wine, like Jesus' mother said at the wedding. We need more wine. Can you help me? Can you help me? Lord, we thank you for prayer. We thank you for that direct connection to you today, Lord, that you've made it so easy. So often, people that we come in contact with, they think that salvation is so hard and so difficult, but you made it so easy. It's the easy button, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that we can gather around our leader, our district leader today, and truly care about what he's going through, what he's thinking, what he sees, but that we can also go to you on his behalf. Lord, prayer, we never want to take that for granted. Lord, our breath, as Sarah was saying, comes from you and it goes to you, Lord. When we make it about us, I think you're okay with that because we are about you. And we thank you for that, Jesus. And I say amen to everything that Adrian said. But I want to pray for those that gather around Brother Phil on a daily basis, Lord. I pray, Lord, you would meet the needs of their families. I pray, Lord, you would meet the needs of their spiritual life. I pray, Lord, that when they pray for him, they can come in through the door with no sin, Lord, because he needs that holiness. Lord, I pray for that team that gathers around him. I pray for the pastors that gather around him and under him, Lord. I pray for the whole state, Lord, and the district. I pray, Lord, they would truly know the gift that they have in this man. Lord, I grew up in a pastor's family. I have seen it. I have worked in the pastor's life of this church for 22 years. I have seen it, and it has been a privilege. So, Lord, I want Dr. Phil to know that those who are in support, we may not be called to the front, but we are called to the lines, and we are under authority, and we take it very important and very personal. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Praise God. Well, you can take a break, and we're going to take a 10-minute break before you go, because I know how you all are like me. You get in conversations, and you don't get the introduction. My friend, Keith Carroll, pastor at Mount Zion Wesleyan Church, he's a Reedsville boy, grew up on a farm, and God has used him in many ways. I don't know of a pastor on the planet, I've told Keith this, I've told his people that, I've told my wife this, that inspires me more to allow humility to overwhelm ability than Keith. And he leads like Jesus. And whatever he shares today, I promise you, if you don't know why you came yet, you get your pen out. Because there's going to be something the Lord's going to speak through Keith's life. Not because he's flashy, but because he's steady. I heard that at Pastor Jim's daddy's funeral. I will never forget it. And he's lived a life. He knows what it's like to be a shepherd.